Let us now turn for a little while to the portion that we read in the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 5, and we may read from verse 8. 1 Peter 5, reading from verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And may God enable us to understand what the apostle is here writing. As we're all aware, this is the commencement of another year, and I don't have to tell you that there are people everywhere greatly concerned about the future, what is going to happen in the year before us. People are anxious, people are concerned, and so on, and they look here and they look there for some encouraging signs, some comfort, some consolation. But the children of God have the Word of God itself to turn to, and we can turn to it today. And we can receive the wisest counsel possible when we turn to it. And that is why we turn to the portion that we do, because here we have divine counsel from the one who knows what lies before us moment by moment, as well as hour by hour. And when we turn to the Word of God, we can be sure that the counsel that we receive, there can be no improvement upon it, as it were. It is the best possible counsel, because the one who gives it knows the very end from the beginning. And he knows what lies ahead of his church. He knows what lies ahead of his people. He knows what lies ahead of you and me as individuals. And so when we read these words, it is our wisdom to give heed to them, because they are from one who knows why we need this counsel. Now let's consider it then. Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now you'll notice Peter is speaking about something that is a universal experience as far as Christ Church goes. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, these afflictions that are implied in the verse 8, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You can go to any part of the world and you find that the Lord's dear people are faced with the same trials, the same problems, the same difficulties. In fact, they have the same adversary. And therefore, you see, the people of God ought never to forget one another. We can become very self-centered and think of nothing beyond our little bubble, as it were, and forget of all the other people of God that are being sorely tried and tested, and their faith is being tested in the fires even of persecution. And that is something we should ever remember, that we are to bear one another's burdens, the burdens of the Lord's own people, wherever they be. Now, what is it then that is understood to be the common experience of all the Lord's dear people, the church universal. The apostle here, first of all, gives us very important information. That is one of the things everyone's looking for. They go here, they go there, they look for information here, then they look for some more there, and they turn in all directions. If only we could get information that's reliable, if only we could get information that would confirm this or deny that. Everyone's looking for reliable information because they think if they can obtain it, it will give them peace of mind, it will help them to be at peace. That's what everyone's looking for. Now here, we are given real, reliable information. The second thing that we have is a timely warning. Be sober, be vigilant, because you have every reason, good reason, to be sober and vigilant, because we would be thinking, well, if Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, and give no reason for it, we can ignore it. But he's giving the reason. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about. And the third thing that we may note briefly is the call to duty, as already mentioned, be sober, be vigilant. Whom, verse 9, whom resist, steadfast in the faith. And when we are confronted with this adversary, what are we to do? Are we to run away? Or are we to stand fast and steadfastly resist him? That's our duty. First of all, then, we are given the information regarding that which only God can know. And that is the satanic, the secret, unseen, satanic activity of the adversary spoken of here. Now, we're all, even the children know, that we cannot see the evil spirits that in the Savior's time, for example, men came to Jesus or they were brought to him or someone came in their behalf and they wanted the Savior to come and cast out the unclean spirits or the demons that were taking possession of their loved ones or whatever. Now, they couldn't see them. They couldn't take hold of them physically themselves, but they knew they existed. And how did they know they existed? Because of the controlling power that those wicked, evil spirits had over the individuals that the Savior would cast them out of. And we need to be aware that this is the kind of power of which Peter is speaking. Be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, whom you can't see, you don't know where he's going to turn up next, but he walketh about. He's active. Now, because this is so, many people think, well, that can't be really just so bad. Our God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Well, the devil isn't omnipresent, so if he's over in Jerusalem or Egypt or London, well, he can't be here bothering us. You remember what the Savior asked the man in the tombs, possessed by a devil. He asked him, what's your name? What was the answer? My name is what? My name is Legion, for we are many. Now, was that an accident of speech? We are Legion. Now you, I'm sure, even the younger members know something about the consistency of a Roman legion. A legion normally would be between 3,000 and 6,000 legionnaires. And they were all controlled and disciplined and organized. They would have a structure and an order. We're not told that the answer when Jesus asked, what is thy name? We are many. So we've all got a lot of names. We've all got different names. No, we've all got the same name. But we're all structured, disciplined, ordered, controlled. We are dangerous. And this is what many of the Lord's people, they read their Bibles and they just don't seem to pay attention to so many important truths. And we think, well, the devil must be somewhere else. He can't be here and be there and be yonder everywhere. The powers of darkness are structured. They are disciplined. They are ordered and under control. And the sad, sad thing is this. While these forces of darkness are so well ordered, as it were, in military format, advancing under discipline, the church is in disarray. Now, should that not be a concern? What are we told here? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about. It's as though he's walking about as a general. If you know anything about warfare in the past, generals would ride around or they would walk about and they would look at their troops. They would look at the formation of their troops. They would look at the geographical outlay of the land. They would have scouts bringing in information about the enemy. That was how they operated. And I tell you, the forces of darkness are not in disarray. And the devil is going about and he is gathering all the information. The legions of his agents are hard at work. And the apostle tells us that our adversary is that very one who's walking about. He is active. And as we begin this New Year, that is one of the things we need to be aware of. We might be concentrating upon COVID. Will we be free from it? Must we live with it? And everybody's seeking more and ever more information, and governments are unsure what to do, what's the next step, what's the next move, whatever. We ought to be aware that behind the scenes there is a movement and there is an unseen power at work. And this is why Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because you need to be, because there is more than the mere physical, material world that we can see. There's activity. You stop and ask yourself, what are the forces of darkness doing? And you think to yourself, well, I cannot be sure because I can't see the devil. I can't see any of his spirit agents. But my dear friends, Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, he tells them there to take certain action in the church at Corinth, lest Satan get the advantage. Lest Satan get the advantage. Now, where was he seeking to get the advantage? Was it in some heathen temple in Ephesus or Corinth? It was in the very church. The devil is active in the church. He knows what's going on. And so he takes the opportunity, every opportunity that's available, he takes it to get an advantage. Now, again, you're brought back to military terminology. When a war's going on, if you want to win it, you've got to get advantage over your enemies. And Peter is speaking about an adversary, and that's what he does. He wants to get an advantage in the very church of Jesus Christ. Now you imagine what that would mean in practical terms. The devil getting the advantage. What turmoil he will bring about, what divisions he will engage in, because he wants the advantage. Now, Paul doesn't stop there. He tells the Corinthians they have to take certain actions to prevent this happening, and he says, for what? We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We're not ignorant. We know how he operates. We cannot maybe see him. We don't know where he's going to move next. But we know that he seeks to get the advantage among the people of God, and we're not ignorant of the devices that he uses. Because of this, we know his character. We know from the history of the church and from the history of men, we know how he operates. Now, let us face the reality in the year that lies before us and the will of God. We need to be aware that Satan is very interested in Christ's church. And he's very interested in this part of Christ's vineyard. He is very interested in this very congregation. Now, we would be fools to ignore that. We think, we're only a little congregation. Nobody much thinks about us or cares about us. They just think we're old-fashioned. They think we're antiquated in the way we worship and so on. And they just ignore us. We're not very important. If we be part of Christ's church, the devil has a real interest in us. And my dear friends, listen. He seeks for an opportunity. He's always looking for an opportunity to get the advantage. so that he will hinder the progress of the congregation. Spiritually, he will hinder its witness in the community. He will hinder at every turn, every effort to witness in the community, to evangelize the lost. We have to be aware of this. And therefore, we ought to be familiarizing ourselves with his devices. How does he work? How does he operate? If he were to come seeking the advantage of the congregation here, what would he do? How would he go about it? That's what we are to consider. Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, I'm a very agreeable person. I get on with people, I get on with most. Can't say that I have very many enemies, I don't think of any. I don't think I have too many adversaries, I'm a peace-loving individual. I don't squabble, I don't fight with people, I let them get on with it. This is one thing we have to be absolutely aware of, every one of us who name Christ's name, we have an adversary. And that means not only does he want to get the advantage in the church in general, or particular churches like the church in Corinth, but he wants to get the advantage in your very life and in mine. He wants to get the advantage. And so he walks about. You remember whenever the question was put by God to Satan in the book of Job, question was asked, hast thou considered my servant Job? Did the devil say, well, who is Job, by the way? Where does he come from? Never heard of him. Where does he live? What does he do? He never asked any questions. He immediately responded with the evidence that he'd been watching Job. He'd been studying Job's life. He had visited Job's home. Do you know that? He visited Job's very home, his little domestic circle. He was a witness to Job praying for his children. He was witness to Job sacrificing for his children. He was witness to what went on in that family. And how are we going to be in our families in the year before us? What will happen? Will Satan get the advantage? Because parents are failing in their duties? Will Satan get the advantage? Because children are rebelling against the authority of their parents? Will Satan get the advantage because family worship is not habitually maintained? Will Satan get the advantage because there's little prayer offered under our roofs? That's what he's going to be looking for. He's going to visit the congregation. He'll visit our homes, he'll visit our workplaces. Because remember this, he's the accuser of the brethren. And he will want to bring accusations to God. I was witness to that man's behavior. I was witness to her conduct. I saw their carelessness and their prayerlessness. I became aware of their deep attachment, their strong attachment to material things, their covetous spirit. My dear friend, let you and I be aware of this. We have an adversary, and he's not dead. He's very much alive. And you and I need to be aware of it, and we need to conduct ourselves in such a way as does not allow him to get the advantage. And the only way that we can do that is if we are aware of his devices, how he works. And to know that, we need to know something of his character. This adversary, oh yes, we know the Bible calls him the devil, Satan, the old serpent, whatever. Now, have you had a visible adversary and you knew that man is my adversary? He's intent on doing me harm. Or that woman, she's my adversary and she has evil intentions toward me. You would be constantly careful. You would be very, very cautious how you would become involved. You might feel that the safest course is to keep well clear. Well, if this is our adversary, with all the power he has, with all the ability, with all the structured opposition that he is overseeing, I do need to be aware of who he is. And one of the things that we surely must be aware of is from the very beginning we learn he's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. Now, none of us like deceivers. We don't like to be deceived. But he is a deceiver. And when Paul writes to the Corinthians, he tells us of this adversary that he actually appears as an angel of light. You put an angel and a devil together as they're depicted in the mind, they're the very opposites. One is the very opposite of the other. And the devil appears when it is necessary, presenting himself as the very opposite of what he really is. This is one of his most dangerous devices. He appears as a friend. He can say the right things. He knows the word of God so well. We're told, when you go over to John's gospel, the Savior himself describes the devil, our adversary, in a very clear fashion that there can be no doubt whatever about it. John chapter 8. And the Savior is talking to these religious leaders who were opposing him. And he said, verse 44 of John 8, ye are of your father the devil. But surely does Jesus not know these men that he's addressing are very religious? Doesn't everyone know they're religious? Doesn't everyone know they actually teach others their religion? Jesus says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. How do I know? How does anyone know you're of your father the devil? Because you do what he does. You act as he acts. You behave like the way he behaves. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, this is your adversary. What is in his heart? Murder. Yet he appears as an angel of light. Now you would never think that such a personage, this appearance, an angel of light, he's got murder in his heart toward me. He doesn't look like as if he's murder in his heart. He doesn't sound as if he has murder in his heart. But he has. Now you remember what Jesus said when he was explaining the true application of the commandments. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. And what did Jesus say? If a man has hatred in his heart, he's a murderer. And the devil, you see, has hatred in his heart, but he doesn't want you to know about it. He hates the people of God, but he would like them not to believe that. He would seek to destroy them. But he comes to them with his enticing attitude and words and so on. Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning, and then he goes on, and abode not in the truth. My, what an alarming fact this is. He abode not in the truth. There was a time he had the truth. It isn't the intention of the Savior to give us part information. He says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. There was a time he was in the truth, a time he had the truth, a time he held to the truth. But because he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He had an intellectual knowledge of the truth. The truth wasn't in him, but he had it nevertheless. And because he has it, he's quite a theologian. Your adversary, the devil, do you imagine he doesn't know anything about the truth? I'll tell you something. He maybe knows more about it than you do. And that's why he is so dangerous. He abode not in it, but he knows it. And he can speak it if it is necessary. If it gives him the advantage, he comes to some poor child of God. He's been going about. His agents have been in the move. He is going about looking. We are told that he goeth about seeking. And you know what Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Do you think the devil will seek and not find? Where's he going to find you and I? How will he find you and I in the year before us, in the will of God? He goeth about seeking, and he comes to some child of God who's become careless, who's become slothful, he's become very deeply involved in this material world and it's what it has to offer. to the neglect of spiritual things, and he knows, here's my opportunity. I can get the advantage because he doesn't know his Bible. I can get the advantage because she doesn't spend time with the Word of God, and I happen to know the Word of God, and I happen to know theology, and I can get the advantage because of his or her ignorance. Dear young people, whatever you spend your time doing, you must be familiar with God's Word. That's the sword, the only sword with which you can defeat this adversary. He's clever. He's smart. And he knows how to get the advantage. Now, he's not only a liar and a murderer, he's a deceiver. And he has the ability to deceive the whole world. When we go to the book of Revelation, we're given an insight into his activity in Revelation 12 and verse 9 of that chapter. We're told the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. You'd be thinking, that's quite incredible. Does he not know that men have become so well educated, so intelligent, that they're actually traveling out into space? They're aware of knowledge increasing at such a rate that they can just about solve any problem they're confronted with. Surely, surely, the devil hasn't the power to deceive clever, intelligent men. Professors from Oxford or Cambridge or Yale. He can't do that, surely. He deceiveth the whole world. Tell me something. Has he ever deceived yourself? Be honest before God. Has he ever got the advantage? And when you sit down as a child of God and you think to yourself, how did he get the advantage? And you know you'll be able to work back and you'll be able to figure it out. I became careless. I became prayerless. And he moved in. He saw the opportunity. And he immediately took the advantage. And I'm the sufferer because of that. Now, Peter not only gives us the information and warns us about the adversary that we're up against, but he calls us to duty. What does he call us to do? To be sober, to be vigilant, and to resist steadfast. That means clearly that we are to be watching. We're watching lest he get the advantage. We are watching, ready to resist. Now, how are we going to resist? The devil comes along and says, well, I happen to know the Word of God. And you imagine those evil spirits during the ministry of the Savior, they were saying to him, we know thee who thou art. One of the modern Reformed theologians in America was saying that one of the great tragedies of the 21st century is a Christless Christianity. A Christless Christianity. And that's what we're facing. People calling themselves Christians. And they have no idea as to who Christ really is. Oh, they might sing carols at a certain time of the year, and they might say, well, baby Jesus was born in a manger and this and that, and the angels came and heralded his birth and so on. Beyond that, they know nothing of the Christ of God, the Lord's anointed. Peter says that the people of God are to be steadfast in the faith. They need to know what they believe. And they need to be able to do just as the Savior did in his temptation in the wilderness. The devil was demonstrating his knowledge. The Savior doesn't ever tell us that the devil is ignorant. Never once do we ever have any indication that the devil is an ignorant creature. It's the very opposite. And when the Savior was in the wilderness, what did Satan do? What did the devil do there? He turned to the Word of God. Imagine this wicked creature. And he confronts the very Word itself made flesh. The very Word, the eternal, immutable Word made flesh. And he confronts that very Word, quoting the Scriptures, the Word of God. Do you think, my dear friend, that some little creature like you or I, that the devil would have many difficulties with us? Do you think he's afraid of you or he's afraid of me? Do you think he's intimidated by your supposed knowledge or mine? Your adversary goeth about seeking. He's looking for particular situations. He's looking for particular people. And he knows I can get the advantage. There's a young person. There's a young man. There's a young woman. I certainly can get the advantage here because they don't pray anymore. I can get the advantage in this household, in this family, because they have grown cold and careless about the things that really matter. I can get the advantage over these children because their parents are not diligent. I can get the advantage over these children that were baptized because their parents are not keeping their promises. Do we realize what Satan wants to do? We are told we are to resist him. Why would we have to resist him? Because he doesn't run away. We have to resist him because he can be very insistent. We have to resist him because he's very dogmatic and he's very insistent and he keeps seeking the prey and he keeps seeking and he keeps searching and he keeps looking. whom resist steadfast in sobriety and watchfulness. And if we are wise as we enter this year, we will be praying for grace to be sober. Now, that doesn't mean that we run around with a long face, but it does mean this, that we have to take the information that Peter gives us very seriously. Now, you can go away from the service and forget anything you heard. That's entirely your responsibility. But listen, my dear friends, the devil hasn't gone to sleep, nor has he gone on vacation. He's still going about. He's active at this very hour, this very moment. And sometimes he becomes very, very active. And when the poor preacher is trying to expound the word or explain it or apply it, the devil's going around, and what does he see? Here's someone, they're not paying real attention. I've got hold of their mind now. I'll take them away to the ends of the earth. And they won't even remember what they heard. How he will seek the advantage. Be sober. Be vigilant. That must be our watchword for the year before us in God's will. You think, and I know I hear the prayers and I hear the concerns in the prayers, Wednesday by Wednesday, I hear the concern, I'm aware of it, of those who even have loved ones, family, relatives, whatever, not attending the means of grace, not interested in the things of God, unconcerned about their immortal souls, and so on. What have we to face up to? Somewhere along the line, Satan got the advantage. He got in. He got the advantage. And he managed to manipulate their thinking, because this is what Paul says he would do with the Corinthians. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. He has a power to blind the mind to truth. And because of his deceitfulness and his knowledge, my knowledge is dangerous when there's a deceitful use made of it. And the devil is the knowledge, but he has an ability to make a deceitful use of it. And the devil, you see, will make people think, he works in their minds. And when you ask them, why do you not go to church? Why do you not attend the means of grace? Ah, well, this happened. And that happened. And he said this, and they did that. And they seem to overlook the fact that they have an immortal soul. A soul that will continue to exist beyond this world. And the devil works to deceive people into thinking, I have a good reason for not going to the means of grace. I have a very good reason for not attending. That's what the devil works on. And so he drags poor souls to a lost eternity, blinding their minds to what is most important. He has them taken up and thinking about things that in reality, in the light of eternity, are irrelevant. And he exaggerates this and he exaggerates that, and he makes them believe there's mountains of excuses in the way. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't have any mercy. He's a murderer. He's a murderer. And he murders souls. He murders precious souls. And that's what you and I have to be aware of. And when we grasp this, when we understand it, I tell you, it will make us really pray. It will make us, it will sober us. It will make us watchful. It will make us vigilant. And we will pray with earnestness because we will understand the devil, he is intent on murdering the very soul of my son, the soul of my daughter, the soul of my family members. That's his intention. He does not love one of them. And this is the reason why we should enter then this year, seeking that God would bless us with sobriety of mind, with a watchful spirit, and with the determination to resist steadfastly, not allow Satan one particle of advantage. Resist steadfast in the faith. Now I know that many places perhaps where they would have a New Year Day service, it would all be about, you know, greetings and joy and whatever, and that's all good, yes. But let us face reality. We are living in dark days. We are living in days when, because of the spiritual state and condition of the church, Satan is taking the advantage. He is taking advantage. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to be resisting steadfastly. And may God grant us the grace to do that. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, we give thee thanks for thy word. Make it this day to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Direct us in the way that is right. We thank thee that as we begin this year, that we are not left in ignorance as to what we may expect. And we have thy counsel to direct us as to our duty. Enable us then by thy grace to be resisting every onslaught and to be resisting every device that Satan might use against thy church and against thy people. Bless thy truth to us. Hear us now, pardon us graciously, and all for Jesus Christ's sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.